Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 22, 2015. The executive director of Mundri East County is killed in a shootout during a county security meeting.
Our executive director, John Tellera, was shot dead at the spot. The commissioner even escaped narrowly. The army has gone on the rampage. There is round shooting in the town of Mundri, and the people have run for their lives.
And analyst says Chinese oil workers have been evacuated from Upper Nile State as fighting between warring parties intensify.
We've heard reports today that some 400 Chinese oil workers have left the Upper Nile area over the last couple of days. And you basically right now have skeleton crews of Chinese and South Sudanese staff maintaining minimum production.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The executive director of Mundri East County is gunned down during a security meeting today. The deputy governor of Western Equatoria State, Sapana Abui, says John Kiliopa was killed by unknown gunmen at a meeting at Okari Junction. Abui says the slaying of the high-profile local official is the latest in a series of killings since cattle herders from Lake State began terrorizing people in Mundri County several months ago after President Kiir ordered pastoralists to move their cattle back to their home states.
Last night, at the junction of Mundri to Meridi, three soldiers who were just spending the night there waiting for transport to go towards the next state were shot at, two were killed, and one wounded. Then this morning, the commissioner of Mundri called an emergency security meeting and moved the force to the scene of the incident to find out what happened and then remove the body from the scene of incident. While they were there, the shooting just abruptly started between the forces there, and unfortunately, our executive director, John Tellera, was shot dead at the spot. The commissioner even escaped narrowly. As I'm speaking right now, the army has gone on the rampage. There is round shooting in the town of Mundri, and the people have run for their lives.
And when you're saying the army has gone on rampage, which army?
The South Sudan Army. The ones who were deployed at the scene of incident at the junction. After the shooting of the executive director, when they were ordered to return to the barrack, start shooting all the way from the junction in the middle of the town, on the shops, and the people who are just running in disarray. Till now, they are just crossing Mundri Bridge, heading to the barracks.
How many people were killed in this shootout?
It has not yet been confirmed, but the confirmed one, two were killed last night, and then one this morning, who is an officer, executive director of Mundri West County, John Kiliana, a son of Meridi.
Who are behind these killings?
The situation around Mundri became tense when the cattle keepers were ordered to leave the area. There were a huge number of cattle raiders who crossed from Lake State and were camping in different locations in the bush with the anticipation of raiding and robbing the moving cattle that were crossing, going back to Jungle. Now, when they failed to achieve their goals because of the army escort that escorted the cows, some of them are still in the bush, frustrated, and we suspect they are behind all this attack. Because even the attack near Yeri, according to the eyewitnesses, they said those are actually not people of Western Equatoria, these are people from Lake State or Greater Baragazal. There were some are in uniform and some are in civilian basis.
Have you communicated this situation to the South Sudan Army headquarters? Because according to your statement, it looks like the army in Mundri have turned their guns on civilians.
The governor is right now in a meeting in Juba with the higher authority, and we are keeping in touch. I'm giving him all the updates of the situation on the ground. Immediately after the incident, we have been in communication since yesterday with the army general headquarters.
That's Sapana Abui, Deputy Governor of Western Equatoria State, speaking with me from Yambio earlier today about the shooting of Executive Director John Kiliona. As fighting intensifies near the Melut and Faluj oil fields in Upper Nile State, Minister of Petroleum and Mining Stephen Dew is denying reports that oil workers are being evacuated or fleeing the area. As Waki Simon Wood reports for VOA from Juba, Dew insists production is continuing as normal.
Dew told the reporters at a news conference in Juba yesterday that the government
would like to reassure the foreign oil partners, joint operating companies, and the entire citizens of South Sudan that the blocks 3 and 7 oil fields are safe and secure, and the oil operation continue normally.
Oil is only being produced in Upper Nile at the moment. The oil fields in Unity State were shut down when South Sudan erupted in conflict in December 2013. In recent weeks, however, the Upper Nile oil fields have seen intense fighting between government and rebel forces. China has long been investing in South Sudan's oil industry, and yesterday Chinese national broadcaster CCTV said hundreds of its workers from China were evacuated from the Upper Nile state oil fields. The reported mass evacuation came after the empty opposition urged oil workers to leave ahead of a rebel offensive on Paluch, the main processing center for South Sudanese oil. But Dew disputes the CCTV report.
There is no evacuation that has taken place. All workers are on their duty. The only work, they may be on the shift, as I said, a normal shift. If somebody here know about how the oil works, that we have a daily flight going and coming. It's not just flying for nothing. They go and take people and took and replace and bring other people back.
Dar Petroleum Company, a consortium that operates in Upper Nile, also says the media reports are baseless. Mayar Mayar is the section head for corporate affairs and public relations of Dar Petroleum.
All the departments, operation departments, general service, and the other contractors, there is no one who was affected. All of the staff and all the workers are in the oil field, so there is nothing such of the evacuation plan, because that was not in the area. It was not so close to the area.
Dew admits that oil production has fallen from 360,000 barrels per day 3 years ago to 165,000 barrels per day today. But he is optimistic that production will take up again.
Plans also are underway to assess the status of oil and facilities in Block 5A, Tarjas, Unity State, for the resumption of the oil.
Oil provides the lion's share of South Sudan government revenues. Dew says those revenues from oil have fallen, but he blames the sharp drop in the global price of petroleum in the past year. He also notes that Khartoum still takes a percentage of South Sudan's oil revenues, and the share that goes to Sudan has not changed, even though the price per barrel has gone down. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Trade analysts predict South Sudan's oil export about 4 million barrels of DAR and blend crude oil in June. That would be down more than 9% from May. The head of Parliament's Energy and Mining Committee says such fluctuations in oil production are normal and insists some technical adjustments being made in Upper Nile State could actually reverse the trend soon. Philip Thornalew has more for VOA from Juba.
The National Assembly Energy and Mining Committee Chairman, Garwij Lam, says daily oil production will be down by less than 1% from the current 168,000 barrels produced per day, and insists that is not because of the ongoing fighting.
It has only reduced to 163,000 barrels per day. The reason is not because of the shutdown of the course of the fight, simply because of technical arrangement within the company in Fallujah. So there's no any threat to the oil fuel.
Lam says these kinds of fluctuations in oil production are not new for South Sudan or any oil-producing region. South Sudan is expected to export 4 million barrels in June compared to 4.4 million in May, according to trade sources. Oil fields in Unity State have remained closed since being shut down when rebel took control of the region in December 2013. The government says it now controls the oil fields in Unity State and production will resume soon. Lam says despite the increased fighting in parts of the oil-producing states of Unity and Upper Nile, there is some good news for South Sudan's oil sales.
The oil even prices in the global market has also increased to $64 per barrel, which is also another encouraging news to the oil production.
But Lam acknowledges that South Sudan economy, which relies almost entirely on oil revenue, has been significantly hampered by the conflict in the oil-producing states.
It has affected the resource envelope of the government. So there is a gap created by the shutdown of this. But this morning I was listening to the minister that now they are working to resume work on Tarija's site, which is the Espok company, which is operating there.
Lam says resuming maximum production of oil in Unity requires adequate security for its oil workers. The uptick in fighting in Unity and Upper Nile states is largely blamed for the overall drop in oil production. For BOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Luke Petit is a senior researcher at the Danish Institute of International Studies and the author of The New Kings of Crude, a book that explores the history of the oil industry in Sudan and South Sudan. He says that while the sharp drop in oil output is not related to the current fighting in Upper Nile State, it is the result of the broader conflict in South Sudan. Petit tells South Sudan in Focus web editor Karen Zaivogo why the Upper Nile fields are seen as a prize by both sides.
Well, in Unity State, you have a number of oil fields, the Unity oil field, and then farther south, the Sarjaf oil field, and both of them have been completely shut down since early on in the conflict. So 2013, they were shut down because of rebel forces were able to quickly overrun those areas. So all of the remaining production is in Upper Nile State, and that's around the Palluj oil field, Adar Yeh oil fields, and others. All the oil from Upper Nile State, so all the remaining oil in South Sudan, goes through Palluj. It's like a big processing center for all the sort of raw crude oil that's being taken out of oil fields in the entire state. So if the rebels were to shut down oil facilities just at that one location at Palluj, they would shut down all of South Sudan's remaining oil. So it's really a critical choke point in the conflict for the government's revenues.
Now, the government is saying that everything is fine up in Palluj. They're saying that no international oil workers have been withdrawn from the area. Is that what you've heard?
No, I mean, we've heard reports today that some 400 Chinese oil workers have left the Upper Nile area over the last couple of days. And you basically right now have skeleton crews of Chinese, but also other foreign and South Sudanese staff maintaining minimum production at the oil fields. So there has been an evacuation over the last couple of days. And, of course, these people can be brought back in the same matter of time if security is brought back to the region. But I think it's quite a severe event because the fighting in Upper Nile State has never gotten so close to the oil fields. So this will really test the risk appetite of Chinese and Malaysian oil companies, which are the major investors in South Sudan. I think that the climate in Sudan and South Sudan is becoming more and more fragmented where security is concerned. And they're starting to recognize that they simply can't be assured of protection.
And how essential are foreign workers to South Sudan's oil industry?
They still play quite a large, I think, leading role, particularly specialized engineers, in ensuring that production maintains high levels. So there are quite a number of Sudanese and South Sudanese technicians, but there's still quite a large amount of foreign workers steering the oil field forward as the South Sudanese improve their ability to do so.
What can be done to get the oil production back up? What should be done?
One would hope that oil could be used as an incentive for peace. There's still a lot of territory in South Sudan that needs exploration, particularly the Jungle state. And the oil fields in Unity and Upper Nile, they need a lot of secondary investment to get production back up. But both of those activities, serious oil exploration and secondary investment in existing oil fields, require peace, require stability, require companies to be willing to invest hundreds of millions of dollars without seeing immediate profits. So until that environment presents itself, we're going to see production maintained at this sort of low level and underneath South Sudan's real potential.
That was Luc Petit, the author of a book about South Sudan's oil industry, speaking with Karen Zaivago. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of northern Bahr al-Ghazal say they can no longer afford to buy food from the market. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you like how you look in photographs?
Automatically, yes. Because, as you know, God said we all came from his image. Therefore, I have to appreciate the image I'm in. So I appreciate every time and the way I look in the images.
I don't like it because when I look at a photograph of mine, I always say that I'm not the one. Because when I get a mirror and I see when I have made makeup, whatever, as you know, girls, and then someone comes and get a photo of mine, I can see that, I'm not the one.
Anyway, I don't like it, how I look, because those machines, they always make me to look so very old and so very ugly.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Residents of northern Bahr al-Ghazal say the soaring cost of basic commodities and the scarcity of food is so overwhelming that some fear a major food crisis is just around the corner. Abraham Agod has this report for VOA from Awil.
Residents of Awil say the prices of everything from sorghum to oil have tripled in the last few weeks. Awil town resident Rebecca Cage, quote, is afraid of what the future will bring if the prices keep rising.
Thanks to God for bringing radio closer to me so that I can hear what is going on. Life this year is very tough, and we women are the ones suffering and always the victims of these kinds of problems. We always keep on alerting our husbands when we are left with 2 gallons of sorghum. Then one should alert the husband in order to bring another. We are really suffering from and getting pressure from men. Other men, when alerted on this, they will run fast hunting for something to bring to eat for his children. If our government can come in the market to check the prices or go from house to house, they will realize most residents do not have anything to eat. Probably this is the famine of 1988.
In that famine, when South Sudan was still a part of Sudan, an estimated 250,000 people died in Bahr al-Ghazal, according to Human Rights Watch. Resident Agar Garan says she now finds it far more difficult to care for her children simply because she cannot afford to feed them.
We know that it is really complicated because this is early May, but what will happen when it is mid-July? This is really starvation for us because there is no hope.
Another resident, Awina Tuck, says she is never quite sure if our family will survive until the next day.
We are finding it hard and complicated for our children to live in this economic hardship. We buy food at an expensive price, like 50 South Sudanese pounds, and when the household has many family members, then this will not be enough for even a day.
On May 16th, the caretaker governor of Northern Barakazal, Salfa Shul Ayat, addressed the rally in a will, town's main Freedom Square, urging residents not to worry about the possibility of another famine. Ayat asked residents to be patient for another couple of weeks until necessary arrangements can be made to halt alarming food shortages in the state. But residents warn that if the government does not take action quickly, people are likely to die of hunger. For VOA News, I'm Abraham Agoth reporting in a will.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. An outbreak of cholera has killed 29 Burundian refugees who fled to Tanzania to escape political unrest at home. The UN Refugee Agency says today that two Tanzanians have also died in an outbreak that has affected 3,000 people in the Kangunga area near Lake Tanganyika. Officials have brought in clean water, medicine, and other supplies to halt the outbreak. Meanwhile, anti-government protests continue in Burundi's capital today. VOA Central Africa Service reports demonstrators tried to gather in central Bujumbura but were blocked by police. Islamist rebels continue to make gains in northern Syria today, taking over a hospital where government forces had been under siege for weeks. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the al-Qaeda-affiliated al-Nusra Front has taken over complete control of the hospital on the outskirts of Jisr al-Shughur. Dozens of government soldiers and others had been holed up inside the hospital since late April. And finally, a suicide bomber detonated explosives inside a Shiite mosque in eastern Saudi Arabia today, killing or wounding dozens of people. The blast hit during afternoon prayers at the Imam Ali Mosque in Qatif, a governorate on the east coast of the predominantly Sunni Muslim kingdom. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
As the war intensifies in some parts of the country, young people in Juba expressed their frustration about South Sudan's future at a recent UNESCO-sponsored celebration called World Day for Cultural Diversity for Dialogue and Development. The youth staged plays and performed songs at Juba One Primary School with a message that music and culture can unify their country. Mungume Dave Surakarinj reports from Juba.
Hundreds of young boys and girls who attended Jubade Secondary School today danced and cheered, while others engaged in different drama illustrations to mark the day. The youth performed scenes based on different folklore from different South Sudan cultures. 16-year-old Josephine Sobra heads the music and drama group at Jubade Secondary. She says she was so excited while planning for today's event. Sobra sensed the strong message she and her classmates could send through their performances.
We feel better when we are performing those traditional dance. We feel like it's our culture. In all those dance, when we are performing it, we are performing it's like our own culture, but we are from different tribes and different communities.
And this is a spear. In my community, they call it elephant spear.
The UNESCO event was just as educative as it was entertaining. The youngsters were also taught about different traditional objects used by their ancestors to fight, hunt, and protect communities, according to one local UNESCO official. 15-year-old Emanuela Sala hails from Eastern Equatoria State. She says she appreciated the cultural event because she believes it can help nurture peace in the country.
For conflict to go away, we need to live in peace. Let us not hit each other just like this one. We stay together, we share things, if it is in culture or other things.
Ellen Leka, UNESCO South Sudan Cultural Program Specialist, says that is exactly the reason why this event is celebrated annually around the world.
South Sudan has approximately 64 ethnic groups.
And if you do not facilitate an understanding between these groups, then you'll create a lot of space for prejudice and stereotypes, and this leads to conflicts and disputes.
UNESCO says 3/4 of world's current conflicts are based on ethnic, cultural divisions. UNESCO believes bridging this gap is necessary for peace and development. In this drama, a conflict arises in the community because some members want to stick to traditional values, while others are embracing modernization. A traditional chief intervenes and settles the conflict. 20-year-old Kwechdeng Atem, who hails from Lake State, says this is what South Sudan's warring leaders should do.
This drama was not only trying to say that cultures are important, but it was also trying to say that, you know, we in all situations, whenever we fight, whenever we do bad things, we should have to come back and realize that we did wrong. Forgive each other and continue as we were before. You know, this drama was telling us that war is not the solution. You know, fighting is not the solution. Killing each other is not the solution.
For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song The Best of Me by Anthony Hamilton.
It's simple. I love it, having you near me, having you here. Our conversations, outrageous. You smile, and I smile, and I say, oh, this is getting personal, personal, personal. Let's stay for a while and play. Girl, let's make this a moment. Oh,
giving you the best of me. Amazing.
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 Oh,
having you close to me. Amazing. Outrageous.
Oh.
Give your best to me.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's breakfast, lost track of time, but we had a ball. Let's catch a movie,
a movie.
Then dinner, tonight's the night, we'll just unwind and stay. Hey, let's stay personal, personal, personal. Let's stay for a while and play. Such a beautiful moment. Oh,
giving you the best of me.
Ooh,
amazing,
so but amazing,
amazing.
Oh,
having you close to me,
having you close to me.
Amazing,
amazing,
outrageous.
Yeah,
giving you the best of me.
Giving you the best of me.
Give you the best of me.
Amazing.
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 Ooh.
Ooh.
Having you close to me.
Having you close to me.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Outrageous.
We have been listening to Anthony Hamilton with the song The Best of Me. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a peaceful weekend. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh.